Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for waiting. I just had a few last-minute Skype issues where I appeared to have disappeared under the desk, but I was actually sat here, so we had to reload everything. But welcome, welcome, everybody. This is the first gear chat that me and Vicky have decided to do together. Hi, Vicky. Yes. How are you doing tonight?
Hi Claire, hi everybody.
So I'll just introduce Vicky to anybody who's new to the channel. Vicky is a fell runner, very good fell runner actually. She's a mum of one, she's a teacher, she's my friend, and also she is a gear tester. So she's particularly, she was doing some reviews for me while I was off on maternity leave for the past couple of years. So she was helping me out with some stuff from the channel. So between us, we've probably reviewed like hundreds of pairs of shoes by now. I don't know if you can see behind me, there's like tons of shoes there, all very bad for the environment, slap on the wrist there. But hopefully our foray into all these different shoes will help you to choose the right pair. So we're going to have a bit of a shoe chat tonight. Get your questions coming in. Type, if you're not watching this live, then type them below in the comments below. And we'll do our best to answer them for you. We have got a question from Tina that I'm going to be answering during the conversation. We'll both put our two pence worth in on that. And we're going to go through our top three trail running shoes. And then we've both got a couple of just other bits and bobs that we've been testing we want to tell you about. And we'll have a brief interlude where we test, where we tell you what we think of these amazing bars and nut butters from Outdoor Provisions, which are really brilliant because this packaging is apparently compostable. I did bury one in my garden, but I, do you know what, I've just forgotten that I did that. So I'll have to update. If you want to know about that one that I buried in the garden, then type in the comments below and I'll let you know the long-term solution to that packaging, because it is supposed to be compostable. Okay, and if my microphone goes at any point, then do tell me, because I've just realised it's on red, so I can get a little charge, portable charger on that if my microphone goes. So I'll just read a few shout outs and then we'll just have a little chat and see how Vicky's doing and see how everyone's doing. Kat's here, she says hi. We've got Graham.
Hi Kat.
Andrea. We've got Chris as well. If you want me to shout you out with any comments or you want a mention, then just type it in the live chat and we will. We'll do our best to answer your questions and do your shout outs. So how are you, Vicky? Because you've been nursing an ankle injury. Tell us how it's going.
I fell down a rabbit hole on the top of Leedsdale. Yeah, it was a giant rabbit hole. I didn't see Alice. I didn't find Alice. And I was with one of our mutual friends, with Katie Foster, who's one of mine and Claire's friends. And she got very excited thinking we were going to go home in a helicopter at one point because it was really bad.
Oh, goodness.
Wow. And we managed to hobble a couple of miles to a farm, and a very lovely farmer took us back to our cars, and then I went to hospital because we thought it was broken. But yeah, just torn ligaments, and it's been hard work. I can run, and I've been able to run since about 3 weeks after doing it. Mm. but I can't run on fells at the minute. I just can't do the downhill on the fells. If I roll it, it will be straight back to square one. So I've been doing a lot of rehab, strengthening work, and trying to get that back on the move really again.
What side is it that you went over on?
It's my right side, and I just rolled it outwards. So yeah, it swelled up absolutely massive, and it was black for days. But it's okay. It's just very stiff. I feel like I've got a very old grandma ankle at the minute.
Yeah. Oh no, it's awful.
So I've had to do a bit of road running. Yeah, I've run on the roads a little bit.
It's so painful, isn't it, going over on your ankle? You almost wish you'd broken it, because it'd probably be easier to repair. But you have done. You just said you'd done a race recently, and it's pretty far, 27 miles.
Oh, that's on Sunday. That's coming up.
Doing
Sunday. Oh, wow. I'm going to do that on Sunday. Yeah, that's the Lancashire Man, which is a local race round here. Mm-hmm. And I've got an entry into that. So I'm going to go. I'm going to just have a nice run around it. Not going to run the downhills, which is rare for me because that's my favourite bit. But just going to have a nice day out. And then there's always good food stations. So I'll probably eat quite a bit of cake on the way around on that one as well.
Awesome. Oh, that sounds lovely. And have you got any more events sort of coming up this year, or is it quite hard to plan with the ankle injury?
I've not got anything actually booked in at the minute. I know you and I are going to go up to Kendal, aren't we, for the mountain festival. And so we might try and get some running done when we get up there, but I've not got anything booked in at the minute. I just thought I'd wait and see how things go, because I don't want to enter a race and then not be able to do it. But I'm getting there slowly, getting back to it.
Good, because you need to keep testing the shoes.
absolutely.
Well, I've got an event on Sunday, but it's not 27 miles. It's not quite that far. I'm not quite back to that level yet, but I've got a half marathon on Sunday.
Ooh, which one?
It's the Rutland Half, so it's very flat. And sort of it's off-road, but it's like a tarmac surface. Yeah. It does part of the parkrun course.
It's around, yeah.
It's across the dam and then like out and back. It's a very strange arrangement of out and backs.
Have you done it before, that one?
Sorry, no, I haven't done that before, but I've done a lot of running around Rutland Water in general.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. I'm just really tired at the moment because of Finley waking in the night again. Steve's just putting him to bed now, so if you hear some random crying in the background, it's not me, it's him. But I'm super excited for my goals this year for testing all this gear out on all these races, because I've got another half marathon, the Worksop half marathon at the end of October, and then my biggie will be training for the Manx Mountain Marathon, which I'm trying to persuade you to come and do as well, aren't I? But that's
where is it, March? That
it's
one
April, yeah, it's the East
April.
The Easter holiday, the Easter bank holidays.
Right.
So it's the 30 miles, or 31 miles probably, across the Isle of Man. And I did it 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago now. So I'm going to see if a decade on I can sort of just see how I compare to a decade, a decade ago, because I'll be 40 in February.
I think you might be faster. I think you might be faster now.
The experience, but I'm not as, because I went over on my ankle as well, so I'm not as good at going downhill like I used to. I used to throw myself downhill, and now I cannot trust this left ankle. It's the bane of my life. I don't know how you feel.
They take a long time to heal, don't they, any injuries like that?
Yeah, they really do. Cool. Okay. Well, we should probably chat about some shoes then, rather than moan about all our injuries.
Mine are very dirty.
It's okay. It's not my keyboard that they're going to be sitting on. We've got some comments already coming in about other people's favourite trail running shoes at the moment. So keep your favourite trail running shoe comments coming in, and we'll read some out after the first one. Do you want to go first, Vicky, with your first? Your favourite one at the moment?
Well,
tell us
I've got three that I kind of rotate between more than anything else.
Yeah.
And recently I've been putting loads of miles on the Scarpa Spin Infinity.
You love them, don't you?
I love this shoe. It's so comfortable. It is the most comfortable shoe ever, and it's really, really good at road to trail. It's brilliant because if you can see, it's got quite a thick where's my camera, there you go, oh, vanished, there you go. Like magic. It's got quite a thick sole, So it's incredibly comfortable. And I just think it's one of the most endurable shoes that I've ever had. I've done so many miles in this shoe and it just lasts and lasts and lasts. It's not got huge lugs. But it's sufficient for trail. Obviously, if I was running on Fell, I'd want something with more lugs. It is just the comfiest shoe ever. It's absolutely lovely. And I would definitely buy this one again. It's one of my absolute favourites at the minute. Especially for summer.
Don't you find you have to, if you find a shoe that you get on so well with like that, you've got to buy at least 5 pairs, haven't you?
Because at some point you change them. Yeah. They change the shoe and then you never get that shoe back again.
Yeah, well, that's brilliant. So you have actually reviewed that shoe, haven't you, on Wild Ginger Running YouTube channel. I think there's a review of it and I will...
I'll
pop it up here. It'll come up as a little icon that pops up on the right-hand side of the screen. Or is it the left-hand side? I can never tell, I can never tell where it's going to pop up. But it'll pop up at the top of the screen somewhere. And I will also link to it in the film description below. Scarpa Infinity. I'll just write that down.
Yeah, I'd say it's not one of the better-known shoes in some ways. I don't think Scarpa is one of the well-known ones. When you talk to people about it, it's not one on the sort of usual radar, but it's one that I've been incredibly impressed with, and it just lasts and lasts and lasts. It's a really, really good shoe. Fantastic.
Maybe it's because they have a more of a mountaineering background than a trail running background, so they're used to making pretty bomb-proof stuff. But interesting. Yeah, that's awesome.
It's my go-to.
Cool. Okay. Well, everybody, keep your comments coming in about what's your fave shoe. And I'll just talk to you about this shoe that I've been wearing recently. So this is the I think they've only just come out, or they're just about to come out in England. They're out in Europe, I know, because I saw somebody at the UTMB wearing these. They're quite distinctive. It's the Ultra Mont Blanc. Boa. So I'll just use one actually. As you can see, they've got these two boa closures on the side. So you just simply pop them down like that, and then you just turn them, and that's how you lace up the shoe, which is like so easy. You get this in cycling shoes and ski
boots.
They're just starting to become a little bit more popular. There's like the La Sportiva Cyclone's got them. I haven't actually tried that one, but also the Adidas Terex Agravic Pro Boa, catchy name.
That's the other one you've had, isn't it?
I have actually tested those as well. They're here. The thing that I really like about the Ultra shoe, apart from the wide fit, which I just love, I love the wide fit of an Ultra shoe. You can see how wide it is compared to this one here. Like that one's really pointy, and the Ultra is like more like a tweeny type shoe. But apart from that, just the fact that it's got these two closure bits here means that not only can you lock the heel down really nicely here, but you can also adjust the midfoot. And then, you know, like halfway through a race, or if you're 20 miles into an ultra and you want to just release a bit of tension across the forefoot because your feet have swollen, you can do that in these really easily. You don't have to sit there and relace all your whole shoe. And you can't do that with a shoe which just has the one boa closure at the back. And I, to be honest, I find that just the one boa closure at the back doesn't get a good fit for me. But I've been finding these have got a much better fit for any other boa shoe that I've tried. And I'm going to be wearing them on my half marathon on Sunday. That's how comfy I think they are. So yeah.
I was going to ask which shoe you were wearing for that.
I think I'm going to wear this one. I mean, I probably should wear a road shoe. It's got a little bit of grip to it. It's got like kind of 3 or 4 mil lugs there. Ultra shoes do seem to wear a little bit quite quickly. Like I'm wearing the Timps as well, and they've worn down pretty quickly. But it's Vibram, which is very good. I've been really enjoying those. So I'm going to do a review of them as well on my channel coming up in October.
Definitely.
That's cool. Do you want to go for your next one, Vicky?
Yeah, I'll move on to one of my next pair. So this is the very muddy La Sportiva Mutant. Which was one of the ones that I reviewed, I think it was last year, with you on your channel. I absolutely love this shoe, and it's brilliant for fell and trail. It's got really good grip, really good lugs for that slightly muddier, much better lugs on that one. And I also really like you were saying about the closure, the fastening on the mutant. Yeah. It has an overlapping tongue here, so it goes all the way around your foot. And then again here, yeah. So it stops any debris getting in and things like that. It's got a really secure, don't know if you can see it, it's got a really secure closure here on the tongue.
Yeah.
And I've just found them, again, really, really comfortable and really, really durable, and also with a really good grip. I actually wore this one on the Lancashire Man last time I did it. This was a shoe that I actually wore, and I might wear this one again on Sunday, because it will be muddy because it's Lancashire and it's always muddy and wet up here. So I'll need something with a bit more grip than the Scarpa, just because I know the route and it's over a lot of muddy ground. So this would be a better choice for that sort of race at the weekend.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Okay. Well, and it's good that you've mentioned the Scarpa, because we just had a question come in about that. Kat says, are the Scarpa Infinity wide? If so, she might give them a try.
I they're a lot wider than the Sportiva. I don't know whether you can see, my camera's a bit funny. They've got a much wider fit than the Sportiva, which is quite a tight fitting shoe. I would say these are not quite as wide as Altra's, probably a bit more like the Hoka fit, that sort of fit instead. I think, I can't even see what size I had to get in this one. I'm just trying to read it. It's worn off. I've used them so much. This is the size. 5. Pardon?
6.5, is it?
Yeah, I think this is a 6.5, this one. So that's, you know, and I think in the Sportiva, I have to go for a 7 because it's quite a snug fitting shoe, whereas 6.5 in this one. But yeah, it's quite a wide shoe. It doesn't rub anywhere at all, this one. Whereas on a longer race, I might get a little bit of rubbing on my toes with this sort of shoe. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're quite a wide fit, I would say, the Scarpas.
That's interesting, because I had the Scarpa Golden Gate. And I didn't find the Golden Gate ATR, I didn't find them wide at all. So it just goes to show that within even one brand, you can have completely different wideness.
Yeah, I think they're quite a wide fit on my feet, but I suppose everyone's feet are quite different, aren't they? It's quite hard sometimes to, and you can change it with socks as well. Mm. I wear a thicker sock with the Scarpa because there's more room in it than I would with the Saucony or the Sportiva. I always wear a thinner sock in those as well.
Do your own little micro adjustments.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just going to read out some comments. So Chris Williams says he bought the last Sportiva Mutants after Vicky's review. I'll link to that review in the film description below, and I'll put a card up here as well. Let me just check what the time was there. 16. Okay. And he bought the Caracals after my review, and he's really happy with both of them.
Oh, good. That's good to hear.
This is a La Sportiva man.
Yeah, they are good shoes. They're very good shoes.
Yeah, I found the Caracals really good and really comfy, but they just dug in. Like, there was a little space just as you tighten at the base of the laces, and they just dug in. And they didn't on one foot, but they did on the other. And it's just, like you said, it's so personal.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Definitely.
And Catherine says she has the Brooks Cascadia 16. As her road trail shoes. So yeah, I reviewed those in my road to trail running shoe test as well. I linked to everything in the blog.
I use the Brooks Glycerin on the road. I tend to use Brooks my road shoe again because they're incredibly comfortable. Yeah,
I use the Adrenaline as my road shoe, but they're 12 mil drop, and I wore them the other day, and because I've been wearing these Altras, which are zero drop, my hips and knees really felt it and they really hurt. So I don't think I can go back to them now. I'm gonna have to chuck them.
Oh no.
So Kat says she loved the 11, the Brooks Cascadia 11 and 12, but she's not getting really along with the 16s because they rub the outside of her big left toe. It just, again, like, if you find the perfect shoe, buy 10 pairs.
And even the same model, I have two pairs of Brooks Glycerin. One of them rub on my heel and they really hurt, and the other pair don't.
That's so mental, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's really strange.
It's worth, like, if something like that happens, seeing if you can send them back to the manufacturer or something, isn't it? And Graham says he's currently using Brooks, and it does all that he needs of it.
Yeah.
And Andrea says, I'm very happy with my zero drop barefoot zero Terraflex. for trail. She doesn't really have a road to trail shoe at present. Cool. Right. I've not heard of that shoe.
No, I've not heard of that one.
Zero Terraflex. Is that the brand? Zero? I haven't heard of those ones. Very interesting.
No.
You'll have to tell us more, Andrea, if you're still here.
Yeah.
Chris said Scarpa make great boots, as to Last Sporty.
Yeah.
Yes, actually, both of those are more of a mountaineering brands originally, aren't they? So,
yeah, you are transferring more to shoes, aren't they? And doing a good job, doing a really good job.
Yeah, doing a really good job. Because sometimes in the olden days, like about when I set up Trail Running Magazine, like, you know, like over a decade ago now, I remember the mountaineering brands would come and they would go, oh, here's a trail shoe. And it'd be more like an approach shoe and it'd be quite hard and
yes.
heavy. And like,
you can't run in it, it's too heavy. Yeah.
You can't run in that, it's too stiff and heavy.
No.
But now they're actually getting the hang of things.
Yeah, they are. They're doing a good job.
Oh, no. Someone says my mic is not quite working. Okay. Oh, no.
Oh.
Okay, I might just grab a charger.
Well, while you're getting, grabbing a charger, I'll talk about the Saucony Peregrine. Top of that. Okay, so this is my other favourite trail shoe. I tend to swap between the three that I've mentioned, and this is the Saucony Peregrine, which is a good all-round shoe. They've been out for years and years and years, and they're absolutely brilliant. They have enormous lugs on for what's marketed as a trail shoe. They've definitely got more of a fell type base on them. And I would wear these on fell as well as trail, as long as there's not lots of tussocks, because they're slightly wider than the traditional sort of Innovate Solomon fell shoe that you get. These, again, one of the things I really like about them is the durability. I've done so many races in this and hundreds of miles in it, and the shoe, you know, all the structure's still there. You've got across the front there, but they still look pretty brand new. Actually, they're a really, really good shoe. And again, these are something that I can put on and I can wear for, you know, 10-20 miles and know that I'm not going to have any problems with them at all. Again, a good, really good all-round good trail shoe, one of my favorites.
Yeah, they look really good. I like the grip on those. Are they
yes
quite light?
The grip
well?
On them is brilliant. Pardon?
Are they quite light as well? They look like bomb proof, but like maybe they'll be light as well.
Yeah, I would say they feel a little bit. We did them in the trail shoe review, actually, so the weight will be on there. But again, yes, I'd say they're probably lighter than the other two. Again, which is probably why more of a sort of race shoe, I would say, for me personally. But yeah, they're a cracking shoe. You can't go wrong with them. They're great.
Yeah. No, they look really awesome. And I'll as I said before, I'll link to all the reviews that that these shoes have covered. In the film description below. So thank you for taking over me or from me whilst I've plugged my mic in. So I've plugged the microphone in now. So let me know if the sound's okay now. And yes, it should be okay, hopefully, now because I've plugged it in and it's charging. So I'll just read out another comment. Mr. Whippet Run says, evening all. That's very jolly of you, Mr. Whippet. Innovate Terra Ultra G270s are his go-to for trail. But not the muddy ones and ultras, so trail and ultras, although he recently bought the Saucony Exodus ultras for this weekend's 100k race. Nice and comfortable so far. Well, that's good to know for this weekend.
They sound good.
100k race, good luck with that, Mr. Whippet. That's good to know. And Andrea has come back to us on the Zero shoes. She says she thinks Zero started with sandals and they are American minimalist shoes. They just started doing fashion as well as running shoes. Cool. Okay. Well, are you over in America then, Andrea? Is that where you are? Is that how you've got your hands on such exciting shoes that we've never heard of?
That we've not heard of.
And Mr. Whippet Run is agreeing with you, Vicky. He's saying Peregrine are stunning shoes.
Yeah, they're just bomb-proof, aren't they? They've been around for a long time, and they're always very similar. And you know what you're getting with them. They're a great all-round shoe.
Yeah. I've just got the 12s actually. What number were they?
I think these must be the 11 or the 10. I can't. Not actually sure.
Because they're super light. Like I've got the these. But
like those. What size are those, Claire? Are they a size 6.5?
Yes, they are. Because you know what? I am a 6.5 now, so this is perfect. Shoe swappability.
Yes. So this shoe swappability.
Is the latest one. They're a 4mm drop. What? And they're super light. They're like 490 grams or something ridiculous.
They look like a race shoe. They look very much like a race shoe, like a condensed version, don't they?
Yeah, I wore them at parkrun, but the grip was massive overkill for the parkrun
wrap. Yeah.
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 They look good.
Severin says that your ones are the 10WT. She has them.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
that
you.
That makes sense, doesn't it? Because I've got the 12s
too. Yeah.
Here. Cool. Yeah, I haven't worn them loads. I'll have to like go to the Peaks. We'll meet up in the Peaks and we can have a shoe swap.
Yes, we can swap them. Wonderful.
I have got so many shoes. I need to do my
second shoe. I've got a new one to test. Shall I mention the new one that I've just got, Claire?
The new one? Yeah.
So I've just been sent this one to test. This is the, if you can see it, the Nike Pegasus Trail, I think it is, the Nike Pegasus Trail 4. So again, I'm going to take this one out tomorrow for a spin and see how I get on with this one. It's super light.
Oh, it's pardon? Stretchy, isn't it, the heel?
Yeah, it's like the, I can't get it on the camera. Where's my camera?
I think there you go. The camera is it wants your body, basically. So if you hold the shoe like in front of your body, it'll probably...
There we go. There we go. That's better. Thank you. Technical.
Where it cuts out the background or something.
Yes, that's right. Because it's messy behind. So I'm going to wear these tomorrow and see how I get on with these. So I will let you know what these are like.
Yeah,
these are the Gore-Tex version.
Color. Like they look like a fashion shoe, don't they?
They're Bobby Dazzlers, aren't they?
Yeah, I like that.
So they're the Gore-Tex version, which I don't normally go with Gore-Tex shoes because, you know, you get wet feet.
Yeah.
It's just one of the things of trail running, isn't it? But it will be interesting to see what they're like. And I will let you know tomorrow night when I've been out in them.
Yeah, I don't wear Gore-Tex shoes for actual trail running, you know, like when I'm actually racing. But when I've been filming and like hanging about loads and running through like wet grass and stuff, I do have worn a Gore-Tex shoe in the past because they're just really handy for those kind of situations when you're hanging about loads.
It's grass.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wet grass in the morning, isn't it? They're perfect for things like
winter
that.
Winter as well. Like, just like when it's not raining, but it's cold, like snow and stuff. That's where I've worn a Gore-Tex shoe, but not to actually run and race in, like just to work in. But yeah, I better go through my second shoe and then should we have a brief interlude where we talk about the outdoor provision stuff?
Where we eat a
small snack. Not like I didn't just shove a baked potato down my neck 5 minutes before I came in here with a screeching baby. So the second shoe that I wanted to just briefly talk about, because I haven't tested these loads because I only got my hands on them at the UTMB. I went to the UTMB with Hoka. There's a film out on my channel. If you just Google UTMB Wild Ginger, you'll come up with all my UTMB films. But this is the Hoka Mafate 4. And I've really been enjoying running in this shoe. It's 4mm drop and it's quite light as well. It's just it's around 500 grams or so for a UK size 6.5. But the great thing about it was that I thought that I couldn't really wear Hoka shoes because the Speed Goat here is really narrow. I don't know if you can see the difference there. They look pretty similar, but the Speed Goat, for some reason, feels super narrow and pointy, whereas this Hoka Mafate, it felt like a bit more roomy in the toe box. So I'm just super pleased about that because I love the bounce of a Hoka shoe. I love the foam that they use in the midsole, but I just can't really get on with the toe box. And this one, I can just like walk to town in these and already my like little toes being squished in and my whole toes are running, like they're rubbing together. But this, I spent the whole of the filming for the UTMB wearing this. So this is like through the night, like we only had 4 hours sleep. I was wearing this for like nearly 48 hours non-stop and it was really good and it didn't cause any blisters between my toes. So I've got high hopes for this. It's got the Pro Fly cushioning in there. It's got quite aggressive lugs, 5mm out on the outsole there. Vibram again, which I really like, really good on wet and dry Vibram. So it's very similar to the Speed Goat, but I think it's a little bit more durable and rugged because it's a little bit heavier and wider in the toe box, which is amazing. Yay. So I'll just take a question before we have our interlude. Andrea lives in Nottingham. She knows of Zero through the long distance hiking and through hiking community. That is very, very cool. And Severin asks us a question. She says, what shoes do you recommend more on Fells? My favourite trail shoe is the Hoka Speed Goat 4. And then she's got the Peregrine 10 for the mud. But they're not great on roads or hard surface.
No, they're not.
What shoe do you recommend more on Fells?
I think, again, a lot of it is personal, depends on your feet and how long the race is. So if I was doing a short, muddy, up and down fell race, it would be probably Innovates that I would go for. There's so many different versions of Innovates out now, but any of their standard sort of fell shoe would be perfect. The ones I use an awful lot recently are the Salomon Wild Cross that they've actually just stopped making. I was gutted. Okay. I know. I can't believe they've stopped making them. They're like, I went and bought 3 pairs online about 2 months ago when I heard that they were stopping making them. Yeah. So I've got a couple of years worth. Mm. And I love those on the longer fell races because they've got amazing grip. You know, the Salomon shoes are brilliant. With the Wild Cross, the Speed Cross, anything like that are amazing for off-road. But the Wild Cross is lovely because it's a little bit wider than the Speed Cross at the front. The Speed Cross is a narrow-fitting shoe, and a lot of people struggle with that on the toes. But Wild Cross is almost the exact same shoe. That's how it feels with the grip and everything, but it's much wider. So for me, it's either, you know, Innovate Fells or the Salomon Wild Cross, which they don't make anymore. There is another one that they are bringing out soon that's supposed to be their alternative for that. But yeah, I was a bit gutted that they got rid of the Wild Cross because it's a cracking shoe. It's really, really good.
Yeah, it is really annoying when they discontinue a shoe that you really like, isn't it? It's like, just stay the same, people. Yeah, I echo that. The any of Innovate shoes like the Mud Claw or the Cross Talon or X Talon, any of those shoes with the super grippy lugs would be right up your street. And also, I find Scott, the Supertrack RC, that's a really good shoe actually for running on muddy stuff. It's got this sort of radial grip. If you Google Scott Supertrack RC Wild Ginger, then that review will come up and I'll link to it in the description below as well. I'll just make a note of that.
I've just thought the other one, the Hoka Evo Jaws as well, was a good fell shoe. That was on our film the other year. That was a really grippy one and very narrow fit again.
The Scott RC seemed to be like a nice regular fit. Like, I didn't find it too narrow. And it's got this radial grip. So instead of, like, in a usual shoe, like, they just go, like, basically up and down, it had it in a circle that went around, and it seemed to work really well. I really liked it, and it was really good on both wet and dry surfaces, because I found in the past that Salomon shoes haven't been as good on wet rock, like, or wet surfaces in general. Yeah. I know no shoe is going to be totally grippy on wet rock, but in particular Salomon shoes, the Speed Cross used to be super slippy. I have my next shoe that I'm going to talk about is actually the Salomon Speed Cross 6, which is the latest one. So, and I haven't actually taken it out of the box out yet because it's so pretty.
Oh my goodness, it's white!
What is wrong with people at the moment? Look at the color of these trail shoes. Like, why is everyone doing like white and pink, white and red? This reminds me of paracetamol. This outro shoe, because it's just
it
and white, or a candy cane, or the British flag, or the English flag, or something. Like, why is everyone doing a white trail shoe? What is wrong with people?
Wow.
It's too pretty to actually use, but I'm going to take it to the Peak District and ruin them.
That looks nice.
Yeah. So we've answered your question, Severin. That's a great question. Chris just wants to chip in with about his Gore-Tex shoes. He punched a hole through them in no time. So he doesn't buy them anymore, and it's got nothing to do with his toenails. Punching.
Nail clippers.
And Graham wears Gore-Tex shoes for his local park run in the winter, all on grass. So it's really good for not getting cold feet. Yeah, if you're hanging around as well after park run, you don't want to get cold feet.
Yeah.
So that's a really good chat as well. Okay, should we do a brief interlude where we talk about these amazing food stuffs? I have to confess, Nikki, I've eaten half of mine already.
Yeah, I've eaten half of mine as well. I've actually got empty packets to show you, not full ones.
Yeah, I've got empty packets as well. But I have taken notes. Everything that I've eaten.
I've got half a random bar there as well. That's
quite rich. So, thank you very much to the guys at Outdoor Provisions for sending us these. So Innovate Athlete Damien Hall is actually sponsored by these guys as well. The brilliant thing about them is that they're packets that we've actually kept for you to have a look at.
Yeah.
I've buried one in the garden. They're compostable. So they're made of like aluminium and paper, it seems. They're made of like a natural fibre that decomposes down to, and you can just put it in your compost bin or on your compost heap or just bury it in the garden without any sort of guilt. So that is one fantastic, whatever they taste like, it's a fantastic reason to buy them. So what did we actually think of what they tasted of? What did you get sent, Vicky? Have you got the same as me?
I think we got similar ones. So I got the sample pack, which has a bit of everything in it. It had, I think it was 4 or 5 of the nut butters, and I think about 4 or 5 of the bars in it.
Yeah.
The nut butters, I'd literally have to stop myself just from eating because they're so nice. If you like peanut butter, like, you'll absolutely love these.
Yeah.
And I love the flavours of them. It's like almond, date and sea salt, hazelnut, coffee almond and cashew nut. And there was a really nice raspberry one.
Ooh,
peanut butter with raspberry.
Almond and raspberry. I've not yet tried that one.
That was lovely. Mine's gone.
I have peanut butter in porridge every morning with Finley. And so I'm going to, like, I was trying not to eat them, but now I'm going to just go full hell for leather.
They're not sweet. They're really nicely savoury. Mm. And especially this sort of almond and sea salt one. They're just really good energy. They really are. I mean, I've had a few on pieces of toast just because they're really nice.
Yeah,
but they are. They're really good. They taste amazing.
So would you use this in place of a gel then on a natural race, do you think?
I never use gels because I don't get on with gels. So for me, I probably would. The only thing is, obviously, it's peanut butter, so you do need a drink with it. But in replacement for something salty that you need in a longer race, it would be perfect.
Yeah.
But you can't have them, you know, a lot of people would have gels without a drink. Well, you couldn't do that with these. You would need a drink. But in terms of fuel for racing, they'd be great. They'd be perfect.
Yeah, they are really good. I think they're quite big. Like, you'd have to sort of, like, just open
half it
and then, like, put it somewhere where it didn't spew out and go all sticky.
Yes.
So there is,
I thought that a half size would actually be quite nice, wouldn't it? A kind of slightly smaller size would be quite good.
Or a crimping here, you know, like how you sometimes get like those cheeses, or I don't know what you get, like they crimp them there.
And you can open half.
Yeah, and you could just open half at a time. That would be quite good. Or you could decant it into a gel bottle-y thing, couldn't you?
Yeah.
You could do that.
But I thought they were they're really good, and I can't wait to open another one, probably tonight when I've finished.
We're allowed to eat them. Yeah. So they also do these bars as well. This is the only one that's left. So this is obviously the one that looked least attractive to me, orange and tea, which does actually sound quite attractive.
I had that one last week when I was biking, and it was really nice. The bars are quite unusual because they're a very different texture, I would say, to most energy bars. Mm-hmm. They're very, very, very dense.
They are, aren't they?
Which surprised me, really. But I kind of liked it because it meant that you don't have to take as many with you if you're doing a long run, something like that, because they just feel like really, really condensed energy. They're quite firm, aren't they? And they feel like they've got all the... everything sort of squished right down into them.
Squished right down, like the energy they've got 100, and it's not loads. Like, there's been energy bars with more in. They're quite small, so 45 grams. A lot of energy bars tend to be like 60 grams or something. But there's 160 basically calories in this one.
Which isn't a lot compared to how it feels. It feels like there's more than that in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're quite light.
I'm just eating one now.
And they're quite easy to eat. Like, I've had chia charge bars in the past, and I haven't had any recently, so do feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. But the chia charge bars that I used to use in 2015 during the Coastal Challenge in Costa Rica, they were delicious, but they did fall apart somewhat. And these don't fall apart, which is a good thing in ultra running.
Nine bars were very similar. They were kind of similar. They would fall apart a little bit, whereas these are really, really, you could have one in your bag for sort of 3 months and it would still be in the same condition 3 months later, even if you run around with it and things like that.
It's really condensed, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think my favourite one of the bars was the mint choc bar. Because it
was, that was mine.
It wasn't overly minty. Yeah, I think I... Oh, here's that one. It wasn't overly minty, I've written here, or overly chocolatey. It was a kind of a subtle taste. And it was easy to eat. It broke off easily, but it wasn't crumbly. And it was a smooth texture that sort of melted in my mouth. So I really liked this one in particular, the mint chocolate bar. And then my favourite nut butter was the hazelnut and cacao, which is their version of Nutella in a way. But it's a much more eco-friendly version because it doesn't use palm oil or chop down rainforests in any way.
Yeah.
And that was really nice and easy to eat as well. There was a good amount of it as well. It went on two pieces of bread, like toast, easily. So it's a bit like a gel, but a lot nicer because it's savoury and sweet at the same time.
Yeah.
I find that hazelnut can be a little bit bitter sometimes, but this wasn't bitter at all. So that was good to see that it wasn't bitter. So what was your favourite bars and nut butter then?
I really like the mint and cocoa one as well. Mint and cocoa one.
Yeah.
But I also really like the orange and tea, which was one that I didn't think I would like, but I did. I did really like that one. But again, like you said, they're quite, they've not got bits that stick in your teeth, which is quite good because I find that quite irritating if you've eaten something. And they do kind of just turn into a bit of like a paste almost, the bars, after a while. They are, they're really dense, but they are really tasty. They're not sweet.
Yeah.
They just have that kind of nice balance. It's not like you're just shoving a load of sugar down your neck. They are quite savoury.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really like them. They're good. And I love their marketing.
Oh, yeah.
The emails and things that they send out are just lovely. They're really nice, really friendly.
Yeah.
And they just come across as a really, good company to be part of and to support as well.
They're a bit irreverent, aren't they? They're a little bit like tongue-in-cheek. They don't take themselves too seriously. Like on the back of the nut butters, for example. This one here, it says, WTF is a nut butter? Like, as in, what the F is a nut butter? It says, squirt directly onto your mouth, squoosh onto fruit, stir into camp porridge, the ultimate utility snack. And they support 1% for the planet as well. So that means that 1% of their profits go towards 1% for the planet, which is a charitable organization that supports life on planet Earth as we know it. I recommend them actually. They weren't as like all out tasty as like, you know, you can get like a really tasty chocolate bar from Aldi that's like probably really bad for you. You felt like these were good for you and that you could have them on a race and not feel sick or anything with the sweetness. I would give them a go personally. Like, I would like some more of them.
Do we know how much the sample pack was off the top of your head? I don't know. I might Google it and just see if I can.
Yeah, you Google it whilst I read out some comments.
Yeah.
So Severin said, thanks for answering her question. She's been thinking of trying Innovate shoes. Her running coach really liked the Jaws so much. Even when they had a massive hole at the front, he just taped them shut, which was useful to let the water out. Yeah, that's called, what they call it? Ventilation? No, what's the word for water? I can't remember the word. Water.
I've got their starter pack. So yeah, their starter pack, which has one of everything in, I think it is. So it's an 8-piece starter pack with 4 nut butters and 4 bars, is £16.
Oh, that's good. So it's like £2 a thing.
£2 a thing, really, isn't it? £2 a
change. So it's more expensive than, say, like if you go to the supermarket and you can get 4 bars for £2 in like those eat natural things and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But just think of the planet, people.
Yes.
The cool marketing and the fact that it's probably a lot better for you.
Yes, yeah, definitely. It'd
be easier to eat on your run. So, yeah, I'm going to save those for my half marathon.
Yeah.
I've also been using, I used a Morton gel on my last long run. I've just been intrigued because, especially because Killian Jornet uses Morton and the top three men and the top lady at UTMB. I think Katie Scheid used Morton as well. I just thought I should probably fuel like I tell everyone else to do after the first half hour to hour, which I just never eat on my runs. So I thought, oh, I'll practice. So I've been having some Morton as well. So Morton and outdoor provisions are going to be my nom de plume.
How are the Morton gels? What are they like?
They're jelly-y. So,
oh, right.
Yeah, they're like jelly instead of a gel, and they're not too sweet, like crucially. You know, like I've got some Talk gels, and they're just really, really sweet, and I just can't even stomach them.
I mean, I love the Raspberry Ripple one, but it does me no good. The Raspberry Ripple Talk gel is the tastiest thing ever, but it upsets my stomach.
Yeah, I had an Apple one, and it upset my stomach on an actual ultra. I had stomach cramps for ages, and it was really debilitating. But the Morton ones, they're just, it's hard to describe them because they're just sort of a jelly that comes out, you know, like a kid's jelly, but kind of a bit more liquidy. And so you can actually eat half of it and fold it over and it doesn't come out because it is a jelly rather than a goo. And the taste is, there's a slight honey taste to it, but apart from that, there's not a great deal of taste. It was actually really nice. I actually kept sucking the packet, hoping to get more out, because it was actually really nice. And I hate gels. So, Morton is the way to go. We have every month Morton give Wild Ginger Running 60 quid's worth of Morton goodies to give away to a prize winner. So if you're a patron, you stand a chance of getting one of those prizes. So every month, somebody wins Morton goodies. So that's one reason to become a patron of Wild Ginger Running.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think I need to try those. I need to try them. I need to give them a whirl.
Maybe next meet, I'll bring you some, because I'm sure I've got some lying around somewhere. Can you take caffeine? Because I've got a load of caffeine.
I love caffeine.
I actually can't have caffeine.
Oh, I take caffeine tablets on races.
Yeah, I had a massive migraine the whole of yesterday because the day before I drank a cup of actual coffee from a filter coffee.
I love caffeine tablets and caffeine chewing gum. Anything like that is great. I love it.
I'm really sensitive to caffeine. I just can't even have it. I'll give you all the caffeine gels that I've got then.
I'll be bouncing.
Cool. Okay, some more comments quickly before we have a question from Tina and then my final shoe and Vicky's final thing as well. Exciting watch.
Yeah.
So Andrea says the OP outdoor provisions mint chocolate bar is awesome. She needs to put an order in. Fantastic. Yes. You definitely do. Oh, maybe I could ask them like if we can have a discount. Let me email them.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Great idea.
OP discount ? Okay. Hold off on ordering, Andrea, because there may be a discount coming. But
I can only say no.
Not if you're desperate. it might take me a little while, but I'll ask them. Severin says, this might be an incentive to start running further again. She can justify then buying those yummy bars. She loved Mirage last year, but yes, they crumble. Yeah, they do, don't they? And I said that once in a review in Trail Running Magazine, and the man that makes them got really annoyed at me. I was like, I'm just being honest. I can't lie to people. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the life of a gear reviewer. Sometimes, people are. So the last shoe. Oh, we've got a last shoe, and then we'll have a question from Tina, who is a new patron of mine. So that's very exciting to be able to answer her question. But the last pair of shoes from yours truly is these beautiful white Speedcross 6s from
Sam. They are fab.
They look beautiful, don't they? They're very long, don't you think? They look very long.
They are very long, I sometimes have to get a smaller size in the Speedcross. The last pair I got sent to me to test, do you remember? They were really big and they sent me a different pair.
Yeah. Well, I'm quite liking the bigness of these because it means that the toe box is a little bit wider.
Yeah.
Like I usually find the Speedcross toe box way too narrow. No. Like it starts to go in much too early for my foot. So I've been finding these okay, but I might just like trip over them. I'll show you what they look like.
Yes,
these are the Ultras. Should I just like stand them up here on the computer? So there's the Ultra. Can you see the Ultra is like a good centimetre smaller than these Speedcross?
That's quite a difference.
That is going to be a bit bonkers to test. I might be tripping over various rocks and things on the trail. but I'm going
to think they've got bigger. Because the last pair I got sent were the same and they felt too big. And I had to go down a size. I mean, I've worn Speedcross for 10 years. Yeah. You know, I've been wearing them constantly. But I found that as well, that they just suddenly seem to have gone bigger, okay, which is strange.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's really odd. Yeah, it's odd, the sizing thing. Yeah, but these are 10mm drops, so they've got quite a heel stack under them. Especially if you have been running around in like the Hoka Mafates, which I love, which are 4mm, and then even more low drop, the Ultras. So I'm not sure how my hips and knees are going to stand up to this kind of drop, because I don't usually go that high anymore. But the grip looks super good, doesn't it? Like 5mm lugs on their ContiGrip sole, which the ContiGrip, they make tyres as well. So, I mean, it should be really good sole.
They're a great shoe.
In the past, I have found that the Speedcross outsole has been slippier than other shoes on wet stuff, so that's going to be interesting to test. I'm going to pick up my sister-in-law from the Peak District in early October, so I'm going to go up early and I'm going to test these out there. I'm not going to wear them until then, and I'm going to get them really muddy on that day, so I'm going to film them going from this white, beautiful white color to a beautiful brown color. Why don't they just cut out the middle and just make
white so far?
Yeah, it doesn't just go white. It goes a horrible muddy colour like these have.
Yeah.
Look, I haven't even done anything particularly muddy in these yet. They've just gone disgusting. But anyway, they've got the Salomon shoes. If you've never worn Salomons before, all the Salomon shoes pretty much have this speed quick lace system here, where you just press this button down and pull the laces down, and that's how you cinch them in super quickly. I can't get a great fit around here with this type of lacing. I always just prefer a traditional lacing system, until I came across the Ultra Boas, that is, which you can lock it down both here and here. But yes, I will try them out in the name of gear testing, and I shall let you know my thoughts. Most people don't have a problem with this. It's just because I've got a really low volume foot, so I have to cinch things in around here like loads. And if I can't lock it down here, then it's just really annoying and my foot slips about. But we'll see how it goes. But they look cool, don't they? They look really nice and grippy.
They look bad. They look really good.
They look good. Okay. Right, let's have this question from Tina. And then we'll do Vicky's last thing and my last random thing. We've got a random thing just to round off the end for you guys. So there's a question about shoes from Tina, one of my newest patrons. Welcome, Tina. She says, hey, how do you safely make the switch to Ultras, which is like zero drop, when used to the high drop of Hokas? I tried once and it caused a painful flare-up of the dreaded plantar fasciitis because I think I did too much too soon in zero drop. I would love to run in some wider trainers to save my little toes. Now, this is a very good question, Tina, and I'm really annoyed at Ultra for not doing a series of transition shoes, because, like, who else makes low-drop shoes? We've got Topo, and that's it, and Ultra. Topo make a 5mm drop shoe. You might want to check them out, but they don't have hardly any cushioning. I've just made a wide-fit shoe review actually on YouTube. It's out now. It's just the latest film that I've made. I'll link to it as well in the film description below, and probably link to it up here as well. But there's several shoes there that are really wide fit, and they're all different types of drop that you might be interested in. But yeah, Ultra is pretty much the best brand for low drop, I mean for wide fit, but yeah, they're all low drop, and it's just so annoying because not everybody can deal with low drop and zero drop straight away. And you do tend to get a bit over-enthusiastic and do, say, a 10-mile run in zero drop and then regret it afterwards. So I think you just have to be really careful and build it up literally mile by mile. And if you can run 3 miles in your zero drop shoes without any flare-ups, the next week do 4. Like, it's that slow, really.
Yeah.
You don't, for some people, if you don't want to get injured, that would be...
I also think don't run on flat, run off-road, run trails that you're up and down rather than just flat, because I think when you're running in the low drop shoes on the flat, that's when you notice it. When you're off road, you don't notice it nearly as much.
Yeah.
Or I don't anyway. When I'm off road, I barely notice. I have very little preference over which drop I use in shoes. I don't find it bothers me.
Yeah.
But if I wore the Altras on a flat run, yeah, I would notice them.
Ah, that's really good advice. Yeah. And I just realised as well, you can buy heel inserts, like the heel only. Yeah. So you could buy, like, say, a 6mm or an 8mm heel insert and put it under the insole of the Altra shoe that you prefer and do it that way. I was just speaking to a physio guy who I'm going to get actually in for a live chat in October, who will tell us more about, like, myths about shoes. And he's gonna send me a couple of inserts. So I'll let you know what he sends me, and I can tell you what they are. But that would be a solution to Altras being zero drop. Just put a heel insert in and away you go. And you can just transition down at your own rate then. Yeah, because I have plantar fasciitis as well, and it does flare up as well. Cool. I hope that answers your question for you, Tina. And Graham says, white trail shoes. Who came up with that idea?
No idea.
Trend at the moment, like, sometimes you get, like, the last year all shoes were like turquoise, like all women's shoes were like this color last year, this was like the color, and now all shoes seem to be like dual color white and red. So yes, just fashion darlings. So cool. Do you want to take us through your final product then, Vicky?
Yeah, of course I will. So I'm going to show you, first of all, the box that this arrives in, because I'm impressed with the box. That's really sad. So this is the box.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. That lands on your doorstep and you think, wow, this is cool. It comes in like a really heavy duty, like a Pelly case, like one of the waterproof cases.
It's like an Xbox.
I know, it's amazing. I can't open it now. But yeah, this is the Chorus Vertix, which I have now put together. The Chorus Vertix 2. And it really is one of the sort of top of the range watches that there are available at the minute. I know Tim has tested this one on Wild Ginger Running before. I think Tim's done a review on this one. And Chorus are, in many ways, a similar sort of brand to Garmin. They do a massive range of watches. They do the very high level, you know, £600 watches that do everything. And then they do the more sort of, if you need a GPS watch and you're running every day and you're running 5-6 miles every day, you don't need navigation. They do amazing watches like that as well. Claire has a review on her channel of the Chorus Pace 2, which is very similar to the Garmin 55, both very similar watches, which are kind of, would you say entry level? They are really, aren't they? They're sort of good entry level GPS watches that do everything you need. I wear this nearly every day and it does everything that I need. And I just bought my husband actually the Chorus Pace 2. I got him one as a present because it's perfect for what he needs. This is way beyond what I would need for every day, because it literally does everything. It's got step-by-step navigation. I've just downloaded the GPX route for this weekend's race, and when I set off from the start, I'll just hit navigation and it will just guide me around every single twist and turn and keep me on the correct path. The battery life on Chorus watches is absolutely amazing. They just last. When I had the Chorus Pace 2, I think it went 3 weeks before I even needed to charge it, and that was running every day. So this will definitely last, you know, 5-6 hours racing at the weekend. My only criticism of it, and I find this a lot with these sorts of watches, the Suunto was the same, the Chorus is the same, and the larger Garmins are the same. I just don't find them hugely compatible for female wrists. They're just a bit big and a bit bulky. But, you know, if you want a watch that literally does everything, that's the compromise. You can't have a watch that does all the navigation, lasts for weeks on end, does altimeter and everything else, but fits into a tiny, tiny package. So that's the kind of compromise. It's an amazing watch. I'm really looking forward to using it at the weekend. They're absolutely bomb-proof. So I'm looking forward to it. But it wouldn't be a watch I would wear every day. I'd have to have both.
Yeah. Oh, dear, you'd have to have two.
I'd have to have two. What a shame.
Catherine's got a question about the watch. She said, is it topographic maps or is it just a breadcrumb trail? Because she really struggles with just the breadcrumb trail, which for people who don't know about watches, it's just like it's basically like a line on your watch and you don't get any other features like you would on an actual map, like the map that's behind me there.
Let me find out.
For example, their higher end watches do have features on them as well. So not all of the features of an OS map, because that would be insane on here. But you know, they have like a limited features like water bodies, like forest walls, random things like that. So that you can just, it's not just a snake in the middle of nowhere that you're just kind of blindly following.
So I've checked online and it says on it, because as I said, I've not used it 100 load yet. It just said something on it then. I was just reading about it having a full landscape mapping. Let me just check. It's gone again now. It's got landscape, topo and hybrid modes. So yeah, it does everything. There's nothing this watch doesn't do. It does absolutely everything. You can zoom in and out on the map with the digital dial or drag it around the map so that you can see the navigation really, really clearly, like you would on a car sat nav, really, isn't it? It's that kind of the kind of level of detail that you've got.
Yeah, wow, they're really competing with Garmin now then because of that, because they've got
definitely
compared to the Garmin. Like I'm wearing the 255 just now, which I really need to review at some point, and it lasts probably a week. Like Finley does press this button over and over again whilst we're eating dinner, but so it's not really a fair test of the poor thing, but it lasts kind of a week. But when I had that Coros Apex, which I'll link to the text of below as well, it lasted like 2 weeks without being charged, and that was doing something like an hour's activity every day, which was amazing.
Is the Apex that will be the version down from the Vertex, I imagine, won't it?
Yeah, it goes Pace, Apex, Vertex.
And does the Apex do navigation? Does that have GPS navigation on the Apex?
It only has breadcrumb navigation. So as far as I'm concerned, that's like not really navigation.
Yeah.
The Vertex. Well, it is kind of, but like it's just not very helpful. I don't find it that helpful. Maybe if
but it's probably smaller. That's the line. Yeah, it'll be a smaller watch than this one, but obviously this one will do a lot more.
Yeah, more precise. Like I did use it on navigation mode when I was doing the Cape Wrath Ultra, and the places that it was really helpful was in the mountains. So if it was pointing slightly that way, you could definitely see that there was either a path going that way or nothing going that way, or you know, like you were like going through tussocks and stuff. And it was just handy to have the general direction in the mist, and it was quicker than map reading. But in a town or something, or in a place where there's like lots of different fields and little stiles and stuff, I just don't find the breadcrumb trail very helpful, because you're just like, I don't know where I'm. It's just not as helpful.
You just step off in a general direction and hope that you're going the right way, don't you, really?
Yeah, just hope for the best. Yeah. Catherine says she's going to email Father Christmas now.
But everything or anything in particular. Is that for the Vertex?
For the Vertex, I think.
Yeah.
Trail Running Phil says he is a big fan of his Coros Apex. We have another shoe question. Have we got time for another shoe question just quickly?
Yeah.
Trace says, does anyone wear a cushioned, let me try and make that bigger, a cushioned wide fit shoe with a higher drop other than the Hoka Clifton wide fit? I can't wear zero drop, fancy trying something different alongside the Hoka. We kind of answered that, didn't we?
Maybe the Scarpa, something like that.
The Scarpa's Infinities, if you scroll back to the start of the chat, Triface, the Scarpa Spin Infinities were quite a wide shoe, and Google Scarpa Spin Infinity while ginger running and you can see Vicky's actual test of it. And yeah, try ultras with a heel lifter in, like a heel insert. I'll be talking more about those when I chat to Nick, the physio, who I'm going to chat to in October. So stay tuned for that. And then Tanish Panjwani says, have you tried the Nike Alphaflies? And what do you think of the decision of the Olympics to ban it? Have you tried the Nike Alphaflies, Vicky?
No, I don't do any road running. No, I would never pay that amount of money for a road shoe because I wouldn't
any shoe.
Do it justice. Yeah, I wouldn't do it justice. No, I haven't. And I've not even been tempted to, really.
No, I think it's the posers. Like, I'm not Usain Bolt. I am not Mo Farah. I am not Paula Radcliffe. I don't think it's going to make me run any faster. Maybe 2 seconds, but I'd rather it come from my fitness than my shit footwear. But yeah, interesting that Olympics want to ban it or have banned it. I don't really follow road running in any sense, so I don't really know about the Olympics decision to ban it. But yeah, I did have a dream that Decathlon made like an alpha fly, but I don't know if that was a dream or if it was real. And it was only 200 quid rather than 300 quid. So I don't know if that was a dream. I'll have to check. I don't know. That's pretty much it from us, but I just wanted to show you one last thing. So I got sent this pair of shorts. I reviewed them recently. If you just scroll down my videos, it's in the latest, the Gear Chat before Vicky came onto Gear Chat. They're the Saw running shorts. And so basically they used to be shorts because they're men's. They didn't make a woman's range at the time. So they just sent me these men's ones, and they were a short that met under here. So that it was like a little pair of shorts and then these dangly legging type shorts here. And I ran in them this morning and I was like just really hot in the crotch area and they went all damp and it looked like I'd weed myself. And I don't weed myself anymore because I've been doing my pelvic floor exercises. Only when I go on the trampoline for more than 5 minutes does this happen to me or sprint really hard. Ladies that have had babies, you'll know what I'm talking about. But so I just chopped the crotch out of these shorts. And I've made a short out of them. The seed bits are really nice, but on their own, they don't look great. But if you've got this little skort over the top, it's like nice and airy now. So yeah, I made a skort out of these running shorts. So there you go. It's it looks like it was a short, and now it's not. It's just a skort. So they were. But the thing is about these, they are 125 quid. Who pays that for a pair of shorts? I got sent. Wow. I don't buy any stuff. And I am like, that's the reason that I have to keep doing this job, because I just can't afford anything. I can't afford any stuff. So, yeah. I really like them, but they're insanely priced. Like, Ron Hill do pairs like that, and Higher State do pairs like this that I would recommend above this. So, there we go. That's what I've mutilated my pair of £125 shorts.
And, wow.
That's the last thing we're going to leave you on. Oh, hang on. Severance just said it's not a dream. Decathlon do have a car shoe just out. It's £150, the Kipron KD900X. A catchy name.
Oh, there you go.
Love a catchy
You didn't dream it. Running
shoe. Yay. Cool.
Super.
Oh, well, that's been brilliant. Tri-Faces just said £125 for a sweaty crotch. Yes, I know. Wouldn't you be so annoyed if you'd paid all that money and you'd just got a sweaty crotch? An MP producer says, hi, ladies. Have a great time. Vicky, I'm loving the t-shirt that you're wearing today.
It's World Enduring Happy Trails one, I think, isn't it? Yeah. Happy Trails.
Yeah, if you want such a t-shirt, then...
They're available.
Yeah, have a shop. I'm just seeing if I've got a shop little thing that I can pop up. Probably just deleted it. Yeah, it's basically wildgingerrunning.co.uk/shop. Yeah, just Google Wild Ginger Running t-shirt and hope it'll come up. Due to the joys of Google.
Lovely. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it's been lovely chatting.
Thank you, Vicky. It's been great to chat to you. I am looking forward to going to Kendal Mountain Festival with you, hopefully.
Can't wait.
November. Haven't actually shared it yet with Steve.
No, I've not, but it'll be fine.
If anybody is at Kendall Mountain Festival, then feel free to come chat to us. I'll put more on social media about it. Maybe if there's enough patrons, we could have a little patron meetup there. And if you want to support the channel, then just go to patreon.com/wildgingerrunning and you can be automatically entered into my monthly competition to win £400 worth of trail and ultra running goodies and other perks and stuff like me and Vicky chatting to you in the exclusive Facebook group and such like. So yes, join us. But it's been great to chat to you, Vicky. Thank you so much for sharing your shoes with us. And should ask the patrons what they want us to chat about next month, because we're going to try and do these monthly, aren't we, these little gear chats.
Yeah.
Unless you've got anything you really want to chat about next time.
I'll have a think.
Yeah, maybe torches. Like, it's the time for torches.
Yeah, time of year for torches, isn't it? Definitely. Yeah. I do love running torches. I do love head torches. You can never have too many head torches.
head torches are good.
And maybe moving on to that winter running gear as well, isn't it? Moving on to winter warmer stuff.
Yeah, maybe like your top three items for winter running. Anyway, let's see what patrons want us to talk about as well. But yeah, thanks so much for chatting.
Thank you very much.
And we will see you all next month. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.